Today Shi'ez Masechta Baba Kama Daf Nun Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Nun Vav Omer Aleph at the top of the Omer Mar. So at the end of our previous year, the Gemara quoted that there are a number of situations where somebody does these acts of damage, but they're potter medine Adam v'chai medine Shemayim. That in all these situations, the Halacha says that the person who did this is going to be held responsible only by Bezdin cannot make him pay for the damages, but Medina Shemayim, which we explained various pshatim in that, he will be held responsible. Says the Gemara. The next case that we learned was a kaifef kamasa shachaveroi mifnei adaleika, where somebody put down somebody else's grain in front of a fire. So ask the Gemara Hechidam exactly what is the situation that is being discussed. Ilam de Matulei, that if this, by doing so, the fire, Bedina Beruch Matsuya, under normal circumstances, will reach this grain and burn it. So then ask the Gemara Bedina Adam Namni Lechayev. So the person should be held responsible, even Bedina Adam, for what he did. Why would this not be considered a situation of Eish? Asked the Gemara. Ella, what must be the case? The Matcha Baruch She'en Mitzuya. That the way he did, that what he did under normal circumstances would not have caused damage. But what happened here was that there was a Ruach She'en Mitzuya, which is something that he should not have assumed, as the Rishonim point out, that at the time he pushed the grain in that direction, there was no such fire. And since at that time there was no such fire, he doesn't have to be concerned that something like this was going to happen. Rashi has a different interpretation of this case. His explanation is that speaking about Tomen Itmar, as we've learned many times, the halacha is, there's a din midaraisa that if the object that was burnt was Tomen, was covered up, was then the halacha will be that he would not, that you're not chayiv for Eish. What this person did was that he covered up the grain in towards which the fire was approaching. So what he accomplished by doing this, is that the person who made the fire will not be obligated to repay the person whose grain that got damaged. And because Mishum the Taivitam Beish, because he created here a situation of Taman, so he indirectly caused that this person who owns the grain should be held responsible. The Meiri says, when we speak about the Teretz, that it was a Ruach She'en Mitzuya, says that we have to explain that if he wouldn't have touched the grain, then a Ruach Metzuya would have not touched it. A Ruach She'en Metzuya would touch it. But if he didn't touch, push it in that, so what he did was, he participated in the act of damage. Moreover, the Yamsha Shleim of the Bach say that even though Rav Ashi now suggested another teretz of Taman, what the Gemara doesn't mean to say, says, they say, is that Rav Ashi is arguing on the previous teretz. The Gemara is only mentioning another way of possibly explaining this Gemara. There's a very interesting question that the Chashuk Echemet discusses here. He says there was a reporter, a newspaper reporter, who put on a highway a suitcase, and with that, he put a clock, and there were wires sticking out of that suitcase, because what he was trying to do was investigate how alert the police are, that if there's such a package in the street, will they or will they not recognize that there's something going on here and they have to get a valve. What happened was that the police did their job, and the police stopped traffic because of this package on the street. And there was somebody who was driving on this highway who was trying to make a flight to, trying to get to the airport. But because of this traffic jam that was caused because of this investigation, he lost and didn't make his flight. And now the question is this person who put down the package chayiv for the damage that this person sustained for missing his flight? So at first glance, he says that this is an exact case of what we're learning in our Gemara. This is only a grumma ben azakin. He didn't directly damage him. He only indirectly damaged him. So he says, we look in the Ramban, who explains that in our Gemara, why is the halacha that in the case where this person covered the damage, he's chayiv. He said because he caused that this person should not be able to get get what he's supposed to get, that he shouldn't get paid for the damage that the fire caused. But now the Rishonim ask a question. What would be the halacha if the person who covered up this grain didn't have a bad intention? He actually had a good intention. You know, the simplest way of learning is that he didn't know the halacha that tamen be'esh is potter. What he meant was to cover up this grain from the approaching fire. Or maybe even if he knew the halacha, maybe he meant well, because he was trying to cover up the grain from approaching fire and was sure that he'd be successful. So Tosfos says that the chiyuv is only if he knows that tamen be'esh is potter. He knows this halacha of tamen. But if he didn't know this halacha of tamen, then he would even be potter b'dinei shemayim, because his intentions were great, and therefore it's considered a situation of onus. That's Tosfos' opinion. So Tosfos' opinion is that somebody who covered up the grain in our Gemara with a good intention, he didn't know that maybe what he's causing is actually damage to the owner of this grain, would be potter. The Shita, however, quotes the Rav that disagrees, and he says that there's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rav. Tosfos says that he's only potter if he didn't know the halacha. The Rav says he's chayiv even in a case where he knows the halacha but he had good intention. So we have here machlokes. What is the halacha when somebody had good intention but it ended up backfiring? What will be the halacha? Will he be chayiv? Vada he's not chayiv b'dinei Adam. Will he be chayiv b'dinei Shemayim? So we could say the same in our Gemara. This reporter had good intention. He wanted to see if the police or whoever are doing their job properly and making sure that no one, chas v'shalom, would get that everybody's aware if there's such a package in the street. But the question here is, does he have a responsibility? So he discusses a similar shaila. He says it's dependent. This question with the reporter is connected to this machlokes rishonim. Then he discusses somebody was stealing a car, but when he stole the car, he looked in the back seat as he was driving off with the car, and he saw there was a child left in this car who has already turned blue because he was left in the car, and he quickly took this child to the hospital, and he was able to save the child. The question is, now he started off as a Maisa Geneva, but his act at the end turned out to be a Maisa Tzolom. So certainly, he says, the B'dinei Adam, we cannot hold this person responsible for Geneva. Because how can we call an act of Atzola something which is that he should be held responsible for. The question that needs to be discussed, what about Bedina Shemayim? So the first way he discusses this is a concept that we discussed in Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin discussed a situation, somebody ate, he meant to eat basa chazir, non-kosher meat, and he ended up eating kosher meat. So the Gemara says, tzor kapar v'slicha, that such a person, even though he didn't end up doing an aveira, he still wanted to do an aveira, and for that he requires to do tshuva, even though he didn't actually do the aveira. The similar, we find that Yosef told his brothers, after they reunited, and after they realized what they had done was very wrong, he said to them, "Hasachas alakim ani, v'atem chashavtem alai l'ra alakim chash v'latayva." So it seems that Yosef was saying that what I'm doing is actually, what happened here is positive. So is Yosef saying to his brothers, you need not do tshuva for what you did, because since it had such a great ending, you ended up not doing the wrong thing, and therefore you don't have to worry? Or at the end of the day, he was saying to them, you did an aveira, but Baruch Hashem, even though you did an aveira, you ended up with a happy ending. So Rav Shlomo Kohen was asked this question, and he says that the way to look at this question and the comparison that we want to make between the case of Basa Chazir and Basa Tleh is not the same. He says that there's a difference between Issa V'Heter, eating something kosher or not kosher, and as soon as that a person had intention to do something, to eat something that's not kosher, he needs to do tshuva, versus mazik. The way to look at a mazik, he says, is what he did, is it considered an act of hezek or not? And if it's not considered an act of hezek, then the halacha is he's going to be potter. And he says, on one hand, we could look at our Gemara. Our Gemara just discussed the person who covered up the grain. Now, as we just discussed a few moments ago, what's going to be the halacha that the person had the best of intention? The person had the best of intention, as we said, that he wanted to cover up the grain because he thought that would be the way to prevent the grain from getting burnt. Still, Tosfos says that you will be held responsible. And therefore, he says that the same will be in the case of Yosef. He says that Yosef, meant to console his brothers, but even though Yosef meant to console his brothers, it's not to be understood that they didn't do tshuva. And actually, he says it's a machloikus of mefarshei haTorah. How to understand Yosef's statement? Dor HaChaim says that Yosef told his brothers, "You need not do tshuva. You don't have to do tshuva because of the ending." But the Kli Chamda disagrees. And he says that at the end of the day, what they did was wrong, even though it ultimately meant to do a tshuva, even though ultimately it had a happy ending. He says, but then the Beis Yitzchak makes a different distinction. He says that the Gemara that we quoted of La'asa, that he had intention to eat non-kosher meat and ate kosher meat, he didn't end up doing a mitzvah. Maybe he didn't end up doing an aveira, but he didn't end up doing a mitzvah. So since he didn't end up doing an aveira, so that's why he still needs to do tshuva. But what will be the halacha if he ends up doing a mitzvah? As in the case of Yosef, as in the case that we're discussing here, where he intended to steal the car, but he ended up doing a mitzvah. So he says that in a place where you end up doing a mitzvah, it's entirely different than everything else we've been discussing. And since if at the end of the day you ended up doing a mitzvah, then we can't call that act an act of hezek. So therefore, to understand, in the case where you stole the car and you ended up saving a child, So he ended up doing a mitzvah. And he would be part of a din Shemayim even. In the case of Yosef, they ended up saving Klal Yisrael. So therefore, it's considered a mitzvah, and they don't have to do tshuva. Whereas in the case of our Gemara, where even though the person had the proper intention to cover up the grain, but he certainly didn't end up doing a mitzvah. And they, or the person who ate the non-kosher meat didn't end up doing a mitzvah, therefore he would be chai b'din Shemayim. The next case that we discussed in our previous shiur, that yichai b'din Shemayim, was a soich edi shachar. Somebody hired false witnesses to say testimony, and he's part of b'din Adam, b'chai b'din Shemayim. Tosfos makes a very important that point. He says that the Gemara says that he hired them. So he says that why would be the halacha if he didn't hire them? What will he be chayiv or not? So Tosfos says that the entire reason that the person that we're discussing here may be chayiv, as we're learning, is only because he paid money. So that is considered much more of a situation that he contributed to the Aveira. But if just asked them to say false testimony and they did it, then Tosfos says he would not be held responsible. But let's go further, says the Gemara. Hey Chidami, so he hired witnesses to say false testimony. So ask them exactly what was the situation. Ilam Lanafshe, that what he tried to say is that he wanted to be able to get money from someone. So he hired somebody to say testimony on his behalf that like that he'll be able to collect money from somebody. So the Gemara, if that's the case, the money that he received illegally through these Edom saying testimony, so he should have to return. He should have to return the money. Ella, what he hired the person, l'chavrei, that on behalf of somebody else. Asked him, in other words, that there was somebody, a friend of his, that owed money, and he wasn't able to pay, and he hired witnesses to say testimony on behalf of them, on behalf of his friend, to save him from having to pay. Says the Gemara, v'idei edus l'chaveroi, enem eloi. Somebody knows testimony on behalf of someone else, but does not come forth to say the testimony. That was the next case that we learned. Potem b'dinei adam chayim b'dinei shemayim. So again, asked the Rabbi Meir Skinen, exactly what is the situation? Ilam b'beit trei, if we're talking about two edim that knew testimony and didn't come to say the testimony that they knew, pshita, then of course the chayim b'dinei shemayim, because the Torah says, v'hu eid o'ra o'yoda, if somebody knows testimony, if he doesn't say his testimony, then he'll be held responsible. Ella was speaking about Bechad. What happened over here was that he knew that there was only one aid. So as we know, that you can't collect just on the basis of one aid. So he wouldn't have been able to collect anyway. So what happened here was that by holding back the testimony, maybe another aid would have come, but maybe the person would have admitted, and therefore he's not chayiv b'dinei adam, or it's not the case that the Torah speaks about, but he's chayiv b'dinei shemayim. The Mefarshim, the Chashuki Chemed on this Gemara 2 asks an interesting question. The question that we say here is, of course, you're not allowed to say false testimony, as our Gemara just said. The question that he says, that he discusses, is that we know, and the example he gives, because this is where it's most evident usually, is where somebody went to secular court over a Yerusha question, over an inheritance question. And the halachas of Yerusha in the Torah and the halacha of Yerusha by the Akum and secular court are very, very different. And because they went to secular court, the court was about to issue a judgment which was contrary to Din Torah. So somebody wanted to come say testimony, false testimony, in order that he would be able to make that the court should paskin consistent with the halacha. Is that permissible? So he says that the halacha is that one is never allowed to say false testimony. One is never allowed to lie. Even if by saying the lie, you're going to have a proper result, going to court and saying something which is false is never permitted. Ask the Gemara, Vesuleka, are there no other situations? The Potem Medina Adam Chayv Dein Shemayim, Veika, isn't there another situation? What is the other situation? Says the most simen ois b'sam v'shlich aver niska. Ois b'lachem mechatas. We know that the paraduma mixture was made of a mixture of the ash of the paraduma and water that they put together. The halacha is that water is not allowed to be used, is not allowed to be worked with. If somebody attempts to work with that water, that water becomes disqualified. So somebody did water with that meipara, and the example of doing work with the meipara is he used it for a scale. He was trying to weigh something, and he used the meipara as a scale. So the halacha is, or somebody actually uses the paras chattis, the halacha is in order for a paraduma to be considered a paraduma that you could use, it was an animal, that was never used. Somebody did the work with them. So why is this not mentioned? Or ask the Gemara, there's another case. If somebody puts poison in front of somebody else's animal, there's another case, ask the Gemara, that somebody sends a fire, puts a fire into the hands of a chereshoit v'katan, and that caused the fire to spread. Ask the Gemara, Ika, there's another case, Hamavis Chaveri, somebody causes his friend to become frightened. And again, here too, and it causes him to be injured. All these were grummas. Vika, Nishbar Kadab Shusarabim, somebody's pitcher broke in the Shusarabim, Veloy Salkan, he didn't pick up the pieces. And then Nafl Gamloy, or somebody's camel fell in the Shusarabim, Veloy Mida, and he didn't pick it up. Remeya Mechayba Zekin, in all these cases, Remeya holds you responsible. So we have here a whole long list of different situations where a person was chayiv. We spoke about hois malacha mechatas. So Tosfos points out that you're only chayiv for doing malacha with the mechatas only after, as we said, the mixture was made, the water and the ash. But if the water and the ash were not yet mixed, that's not considered a situation of oisim malachim mechatas. The Miri disagrees, and so Tosfos says that even before you put the ash, you're going to be held responsible. The Miri disagrees, and the Miri's opinion is, as we said, you only chayiv after you have this mixture having made. The Gemara spoke about hamavis as chaveroi. The reason hamavis as chaveroi, Rashi says, somebody frightened somebody else, and because he got frightened, he got injured. Why you potter? Because he didn't touch him. And if the mazik didn't actually touch the mizik, that's why he's not going to be held responsible. In Kedushin, Rashi says that the reason the mazik is not chayiv is because the person, the victim here, participated in him getting himself injured by getting frightened. It's something that he should have controlled. A similar pshat I saw, the Ramah says. The Ramah says that that if a person saw that this was happening, that somebody was approaching him to frighten him, he should have, and blow into his ear, he should have put his head down. The fact that he didn't put his head down, that's why he's held somewhat responsible, and the person who did it is not held responsible. So we have all these cases, asked the Gemara, why weren't they not mentioned in the Braisa? Answers the Gemara, in me, Ikatuva, there are many cases. Hani, the four cases that Rishua mentioned, Istruchalei, each one of them represents a Chiddush, and therefore we would say in these cases, there could be an argument made that in those cases, even B'dinei Shemayim, he should not be held responsible, Kamash Malon, that he is responsible. And the Gemara tells us the unique Chiddush of each one of these cases. Says the Gemara, the case where somebody broke down the fence, we would say, since this fence, Kivin Dol Mystery Koi, it was a wall that was supposed to be broken down anyway. As we said, the Gemara we ended last, the previous year, it was talking about a Koisul Ua. So we can make an argument, Ma'ovid, what did this person do? And therefore, he didn't do really anything. And therefore, maybe, perhaps, B'dinei Shemayim Nami Lo Chayiv, Kamash Malon Deri Is Chayiv. The next case, which is the case that we began today's shiur with, HaKoyf Kamosu Shel Chaveroi Nami, Maritei Melema, Mi Havi Yada Da'asi Ruach M'Shena Metsuya. What would make me believe that the Ruach Shena Metsuya is coming? B'dinei Shemayim, therefore, B'dinei Shemayim, Nami Loyal Chayiv, he should not be held responsible, even B'dinei Shemayim, Kamash Malon, that no, it's your job to think about anything that might be going to happen. And the way Rav Ashi explained that he covered up the grain, all that I did was just cover the grain. And maybe it's like we said early in the shiur, and I had good intention, and this would be a right to Tosfos' approach. And therefore, should not be chayv b'dinei shemayim, kamash malon. So Tosfos asks a great question. Tosfos says, this person is saying, I had good intention, and therefore, since I had good intention, I should not be held responsible. I, at the end, the fire came and it burnt. I had no way of knowing that that was going to happen. So ask Tosfos, why? So how's he chayiv? This is not a court, that the court has no way of knowing what truly was going on in your mind. This is B'dinei Shemayim. The chayiv is B'dinei Shemayim, and whether your attention were right or wrong are also B'dinei Shemayim. So the Shemayim knows the truth. So Tosfos says, even if we'll know that this person had the best of intention, but since what he did could end up backfiring, that's already enough to make him chai b'dinei Shemayim. That's Tosfos' approach. But as we've quoted earlier in our shiur, the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ra'ah that disagrees and says that if his intention were truly honorable, then he would be chayiv b'dinei Shemayim. But we have the question, if that's pshat, then why would it be chayiv b'dinei Shemayim? In Shemayim, they know what truly was his intention. But here we're learning that the intention of the mazik are taken into consideration. The intentions of the mazik are taken into consideration. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah speaks about a case that a person came to a doctor, he was suffering, he was in pain, and the doctor, instead of doing all of the proper tests that a doctor is supposed to do, he released the patient, and he didn't diagnose the patient with his true disease, and then the patient got very sick. And of course, if the doctor had done his job properly, the patient wouldn't have been in this situation. Is this doctor considered a pesheya? So he answers that even though this doctor, of course, did not do what he's supposed to do, but still, it's not considered that he actively was mazikim. As again, as we're learning in our Gemara examples. And since it's not considered that he was actively mazikim, he would not be chayiv b'dine Adam. He may be chayiv b'dine Shemayim. Continues the Gemara. V'asoicha edi sheker nami. What about the case of soicha edi sheker? What is the chiddush over there? Madatema. We can make a strong argument. Lema, the person who hired these false witnesses should make, as I should say, divrei rava, divrei talmud, divrei mishamim. Why did they listen to me and say the false testimony? They should have not listened to me, and therefore bedinish, and not said the false testimony, and therefore in that case, perhaps bedinish shemayim namel lechayiv, they should not be held responsible in bedinish shemayim. Kamash malon, that they are chayiv bedinish shemayim, and so ask the chavos yor, why indeed are they chayiv bedinish shemayim? If, as we've learned previously, there is a concept of divrei rava, divrei talmud, divrei mishamim, ain shliach ledvar aveira, so why should the person who hired them be held responsible? So he quotes a sma. He says that in case, when do we say ain shliach ledvar aveira? He says a very bechiddush. Do you say ain shliach ledvar aveira when the person asked, when the person who asked the other person to do aveira was confident that the person really won't listen to him? Will a person listen to me, who I asked him to do an aveira, when the halacha, of course, says he's not allowed to do the aveira? And that's when we can apply the concept of divrei rava, divrei talmud, divrei mishamim. Here, as we said earlier in the shir, the person who hired them was confident that they're going to say the false testimony. Why was he confident they're going to say false testimony? Because he paid them. Since he paid them, so that's enough that he should have, so that is not so simple that they're not going to do what he was told. And they were going to say, divrei, there we don't say divrei rava, divrei talmud, divrei shamim, so simply, but he is chayiv b'dinei shemayim. And in fact, the achronim point out, he's only chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Why is he only chayiv b'dinei shemayim? Because he was still thinking that even though I'm paying these edim, these witnesses, to say false testimony, they're still not going to do such a terrible aveira. They're still not going to do such a terrible aveira that he's going to, that they were going to say false testimony. And for that, it's enough of a reason that he should be able to, that he should be potter b'dinei adam chay b'dinei shemayim. The next case we discussed was Aidea edus l'chaveroi v'enanam made loy. And again, the Gemara is saying that that case represents a chiddush. What is the chiddush of that case? How could I be confident that if he would have said the edus, where I'm only an eid echad, he would admit? We know that all an eid echad could accomplish is he can make the person swear. And maybe this person would have the person who's at Eid Echad says he would have sworn falsely. And therefore, this should be a situation of B'dinei Shemayim, Nami Loy L'chayiv. He shouldn't be Chayiv even B'dinei Shemayim. Kamash Malon, that he is Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. So, the Padish Yosef asks a question. He says that we know that the Bezdin Shamala is not as strict as the Bezdin Shamata. What is the way we know that? He says that the Bezdin Shamala doesn't punish a person only for averus that he did after he was 20 years old. The Bezdin Shamata, we know, punishes a person when he did averus, even when he's bar mitzvah. In our Gemara, we learn that the Bezdin Shamala is stricter than the Bezdin Shamata. Because in our shiur today, we've identified so many cases, the chai b'din adam, part of b'din shemayim. So his question is, where is there a stricter din? B'din shemayim or din adam? So he says that the rules of punishment of din shemayim and rules of din adam are very different. He says that when we punish a person, b'din adam, he says the main reason for punishing a person that Bedine Adam is not to punish him for the Aveira. The responsibility, so to speak, of punishing somebody for the Aveira is not Bedine Adam, is not the job of Bezdin. That is the job of Shemayim. The job of Bezdin to punish is like the Pasuk says, V'chol am yishma v'yiro, that people should learn and take a lesson. So therefore, he says, that Bedine Shemayim, the punishment is that the person, the Bedine Shemayim punishment is that the person should have a kapora. If that's the way we understand, he says, all of the differences are very well understood. If the purpose of Bedine Shemayim is that the person who did the Aveira should have a kapora, so only when a person is 20 years old and over is there a need for kapora. When he's under 20 years old, there is no need for kapora. That's one point he makes. Another point that perhaps could be understood is that if somebody does an Aveira and he's chayiv, let's say he does something financial, and Bezdin says you're going to have to pay a fine. So he has to pay the fine. Now, who are those that suffer by him paying the fine? It's not just he who's paying the fine that suffers. His family suffers also, because the money that he spent on that fine will now not be available to his family to use for what they really may need. Bezdin, Shemala, takes into consideration that if they punish somebody, not only will the person who did the crime be suffering, but his family will suffer, and maybe they don't deserve to suffer. And the reason is because Bezdin Shemata is giving a fine as a deterrent. Since Bezdin Shemata is giving a fine as a deterrent, so Bezdin's goal is that they have to fine. The person did something wrong, they have to fine him. The fact that his family will suffer is immaterial. Whereas the Bezdin Shemala is doing it as a kapara. So maybe, even though this person maybe needs a kapara, but his family shouldn't suffer, and therefore they won't punish the family. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody put a fence up around a place with their animals, and then the fence was broken, Belila, Ashapartsu Lishtim, and then the animal went out and did damage, he's not going to be chayy because he did what he was supposed to do. Amar Rava, says Rava, this that we learned, that Yipater V'chusha Chasra, that the animal was digging under the wall, and that's what caused the wall to fall. Avaloi Chasra, if the wall fell by itself, Mai, what would be the din? So Rava suggests his chayiv. So ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the circumstance that Rava is referring to? Ilema because Bari, if we're talking about a sturdy wall, Kilei Chasra, if it fell by itself, even if it fell by itself, Amai chayiv, what would be chayiv? Might have a little maimed. He had a good wall. Ella, we must be speaking about a coastal wall, a wall that's not in good shape. So ask the Gemara, Kichasra, even if the wall fell because the animal was digging, Amai Potter, why should this not be considered a situation of Tchilasa v'pshiya v'saifa b'aynasu, that even though he, at the end, it was an aynas, it was the animal that caused it to fall, but it was Tchilasa b'pshiya. So Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz says that we learned in a previous shir that the din of Tchilasa v'pshiya v'saifa b'aynas is only in a case where the oinus is a result of the pshia. So he says that that's the case here as well. Because the wall was a weak wall, it was easier for the animal to be able to cause it to fall. But as the Gemara, Elaman d'Amr, t'chlas b'pshia v'saif b'oinus chayiv, mayikil meimer, says the Gemara, Elamas nisin b'kaisel bari. Indeed, the Mishnah is speaking about a strong wall. But therefore, the halach is, v'afilo loy chasra, even if the animal had not dug under this wall, he would be potter, because he left a good wall. V'chi itma de Rava, where did Rava make his distinction? Asef itma. Where the Mishnah said, v'nicha b'chama, if he left the animal out in the sun. Oy shemasul cher shayit v'katam yotz v'zika. Chayiv, says the Gemara, amar Rava v'afilo chasra, even if what happened was that the animal dug, he'll be chayiv. Because the Gemara and Rav explains, let me buy a cheicha de la chasra, in a case where the animal went and did the damage, because it's so uncomfortable, because it was left out in the sun, the cool of a pshihi. So what he did is a full-fledged act of pshia, and it'll be chayiv. Ela filo chosra nami, even in a case where it was chosra, ma du tema havelei t'chlas of a pshia v'saifa v'aynis, and therefore, according to the mandamid that holds t'chlas of a pshia v'saifa v'aynis as potter, he should be potter here as well. Kamash malon, the kula pshihi, that this is considered a total act of pshia. Why is it considered a total act of pshia? My tama, damale, the nizik, the victim, could tell the owner of this animal, made the adat, you should certainly be aware, the kivin shafta behema, that you left, the bechama, since you left the animal out in such a situation, you left the animal out in a place that it get, that it's uncomfortable, kol tetzdakta de isla lemevid, it's going to do everything that it can, v'nafka. The animal is going to do whatever it can to protect itself. And therefore, since he could have done so, since he did so, the halacha is that he's going to be held responsible. It says the Gemara, Tzir Listen, but if Listen took out the animal and then the animal did damage, Listen chayovim. It says the Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious? The kivadaf gua, once they did meshicha by taking the animal out of the property of the owner, they become the owners of this animal. Kaimalei shusayu, the animal becomes now the property of these ganovim l'chol mili for all areas of halacha. And as the Rishonim point out, number one, because as we've been discussing, they say for the beginning of the Masechta, there's always a question. Why is a mazik chayiv? One could suggest that a mazik is chayiv because he should have watched this, his property. He should have watched his animal from doing damage. The other way of explaining is that he's chayiv because his property did damage. Whichever explanation we give, here it will be the same. Since the listen become the owners of the animal, since the listen become the owners of the animal, so the chai, because their property did damage. And if we'll say that the chiv is because they didn't properly watch the animal, now that they took the animal, they have the responsibility to watch the animal. And if they didn't watch the animal, they will be chayiv. Says the Gemara Leitzricha, the case of the Mishnah is the Kama B'l'apa. They stood in front of the animal, and since they stood in front of the animal had nowhere to go besides to the grain that it ate from. And since it didn't do the direct damage, that's why the chiddush is that they're chayiv. Ki hod amar amas amarav, hamamad behemes chaveri akamas chaveri. If I put somebody else's animal on somebody else's grain, and the Chazanish says that the case over here is that we put the animal in a fashion, which is what we do whenever we want the animal to eat. Chayiv. Mamid, asked the Gemara, Mamid, Pshita, of course I'm going to be chayiv. I put it on somebody else's grain. How can we suggest that it should not be chayiv? Says the Gemara, the case was, Leitzricha, the Kamla Ba'apa, that I stood in front of the animal, and that caused that the animal should do damage. So we learn from here that if I created a situation that damage will certainly happen, I shall be held responsible. In fact, the Achroinim, I saw the Sefer Nachos Eliyahu, says that if I put a child on a table, so if somebody did something so irresponsible that he put a child on somebody else's table, he certainly will be chayiv. Because a child being put on the table is similar to this case where you put the child in a place where it's certainly going to do damage. And in fact, there's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim. The Paiskim discussed a situation where somebody went shopping in a supermarket and they brought their young child with into the supermarket. And what happened was that the child started bothering the mother. And she wasn't able to do her shopping. So what she did was that she deposited her child in front of the candy section of the supermarket. Her thinking was that the child will just be interested in looking at all those various candies and will not eat from the candies. But of course, what happened was that the child, normal, sees candy and wants candy and took a lot of candy and ate it and ruined it. And the question is the mother obligated to pay for the candy that the child ate and ruined? And the Paiskim say that this is our Gemara that we just said, that since he brought, it's Mamet Behemus Chaveri, if you create a situation, and our Gemara says, it doesn't have to be that you actually did a direct hezek. Even if you just put the animal next to the other person's grain, you shall be held responsible. On the other hand, the Paiskim say, if somebody brought a child to a store, and instead of being involved in watching the child, she let the child wander around. And the child wandering around obviously ultimately ended up in the candy section. And he ended up in the candy section and took candy on his own. So that's not our Gemara, because our Gemara speaks about where you mekayim lo ba'apa, that you created a situation that the animal is right there. You didn't create that situation. You didn't put the child in front of the candy section. So that would be a case that chay b'dinei shemayim and potter b'dinei adam. An interesting question would be, let's say somebody is sick. He has COVID and he goes to a public place. And because he goes to the public place, he creates that other people will got sick. And those people, because they got sick, couldn't go to work, so they had unemployment issues, they had to pay money for doctor bills. Will he be chayiv? So the Paiskim say, if it's bari hazeika, if it's certain that if a person with this type of a disease is going to, by being in a public place, is going to cause that the other people in that place will be sick, he will be chayiv, he will be responsible for their financial loss. Says the Gemara, Amalei. So says the Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, a different way of explaining, Bekisha, that he hit the animal, Amritlon. That's the way Rav explained the Gemara. In other words, as we have often in Shas, Rav Yosef forgot his learning, and Abaye would remind him. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that by hitting the animal, it's considered as if you stole the animal, and the people who stole the animal are now going to be held responsible. But now, listen, Nami de Kishua, and once you do that, you're going to be held responsible. We learned in the Mishnah, Masl Araya, if you gave the animal over to a Araya, at that point, the Gemara says, Nichnas Araya, the Mishnah said, Nichnas Araya Tachtea. The animal becomes, the Araya becomes responsible. So we're going to begin now a discussion, a machlokes that the Gemara Masechta B'Metzia, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, discusses. What is the halacha, shomer shemosel l'shomer, where one shomer gave over what he was asked to watch to somebody else? And then something happened. Will the first shomer be held responsible to not or not? One reason that he should be chayiv is because the person said, the person whose object was given over says, I asked you to be the shomer. I didn't ask the other person to be the shomer. That's one point. Another point that can be made is that he says that a shomer has to make a shvuah, that he didn't do anything wrong. I don't trust his shvuah. Says the Gemara, Amri. The Mishnah says, Niknas haroya tachtav. Tachtav the man. What does that mean? Elam tachtav the baal behema, that he is the shomer, the roya, is in the place of the owner. Ask the Gemara, Tanina chadazimna. That's already a Mishnah that we learned. On Daf Mem Dalar Mabez, the Mishnah said, "Masr l'shoyv chinam l'shoyl nois asachar u'l'soicher kulam nachdas tal schabalim." So why did the Mishnah need to repeat it? Ela tachtav the shomer. It says the Gemara, we're speaking about the case that we just mentioned, where one shomer gave it to another shomer, and the Gemara is saying that the second shomer comes in the place of the first shomer. Shomer kama efter leil gramri, that the first shomer is out of the picture. Ask the Gemara. So shouldn't this be lame to have to yuf to the Rava? Dama Rava, Rava said, as we just said, that in a case of Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, he's Chayiv. Amlecha Rava, my master L'Shroya, what does the case of the Gemara mean? L'Barzilai. That the Roya, the shepherds, would have assistance. That Dor Chelemeri Selemem Zeilei. That means, even if I give something to a Shomer, and I can make a successful argument that I didn't mean to give it to a different Shomer, I cannot make a successful argument, however, that I don't want the assistant of the Roya to be in charge. Because I can make a very strong argument. This argument is that he always has an assistant, and that's to be expected, that the assistant will take over in the place of the shepherd. Ikadamri, the Gemara says a different version. Midiktani Masla Roya, Vlaktani Masla Achra, Shmamina, what obviously is meant when the Mishnah says Masla Roya, Shemasra Roya LeBarzilai, that the Roya gave it over to his assistant. The Roya LeMimsala Barzilai, because that is normal that the Roya gives it to his assistant. But indeed, Avala Acher, if it was given to someone else, Loi, he would not be held responsible. Lema, isn't this a Raya LeRavadam, Rava Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer? Chayiv, that only in this case, because it was Barzilai, so the Barzilai is going to be responsible, because I can't say I didn't know it would end up in him. Amri Loi, Dilma Urcha de Milsuktani. The Mishnah speaking about a case where he gave it to the assistant, because that's what normally happens. But indeed, v'hu adin, l'shomer acher, him li potter, because maybe the halacha is that shomer shemasa l'shomer is potter.